I am a psychologist. And what I'm really, truly interested in is to try to understand what molds and shapes the psyche of the collective. And how is it that the individual is impacted by that? And how is it that we're so impacted in our country by the Islamic principles at this point in time? And what's happening? What is happening in this world? And so this is what we will speculate. Now, speculation is not new. Humans have been speculating since consciousness began to arise, not only about what it is that they see, but they try to make sense out of nature. I mean, this has been, we know this is as ancient as any of the excavations that we have of early life. There's been a curiosity. And when we talk about Iraq, we're going to see how incredibly curious the humans were 10,000 years ago about nature and the unknown. Humans have devoted themselves since the dawn of consciousness, since the dawn of being aware of themselves as something separate than the simple animal kingdom, that they have been contemplating the transcendent. What is life? What is the meaning of death? And what happens after we die? These are very old questions. So historically we find that religions in their various forms and their rites and their rituals and in their philosophies attempt to answer the question, especially this huge existential question of life, death, and what happens after death. Now, I point this out because the religious leaders, the prophets, the philosophers, and even ordinary human beings like you and me reflect on this. Much of our midlife crisis today is based on that existential question. I mean, the existential philosophers say, of course, you have to contemplate death. Well, I'm not so sure we have to contemplate on it. I mean, it's like looking at one's belly button. It doesn't really get you anywhere. But I do think that it is important for us to have a sense of the transcendent, that which moves us beyond our life and meaning. Perhaps one of the earliest records that we have of this contemplative life, other than the ritual kinds of things that we see in graves and so forth that obviously happen, but is a dialogue by a man, apparently just an ordinary man or a slave or whatever. And you find in the Documents of the Soul, in the book The Documents of the Soul, the dialogue of the world-weary man with his Ba. Now this is talked about, Barbara Hanna uses this illustration in her work on active imagination. But it is about a man who lived in Egypt, and only the Pharaoh had soul, quote unquote. Only the Pharaoh lived after death, and he was an incarnation of the sun god and of Ra. Okay. Everybody else, you know, they just didn't count for anything, obviously didn't have soul, and they just got chucked off into the river once they died, and the crocodiles ate them. And of course, this is how we get the symbol of the devouring qualities of the crocodile. I think the point that is appropriate for us to reflect upon, though, is the fact that 3500 BC or 4000 BC, we already have a document where an individual is contemplating life and death and the soul, what it means. I think for our purposes, because there's so much material, we can really basically only focus until next week on the Judaic and the Christian principles, out of which, of course, Islam evolved. And we're going to see there are lots and lots of parallels between the Judaic, the Christian, and the Islamic rituals and rites